to know what out of the box is, you should know the box. What is the box? So the box itself is so big. There is the wholesome enjoyment of an art form that cannot be taught. It is not in a book. It's not in the scriptures. It's in experience. That way, I think everything is out of box. Everything is in the box. Like, you never know, because the box is so big. No matter how much time we spend, we would have covered very little. So in this little span of one lifetime, the best thing to do would be to be adventurous. Go for it. Even if you fail, it's okay.
Vajashree Venugopal is a well-known Indian classical singer and flautist, and man, does this episode have so much in store for you. She was found to have the rare ability to identify about 40 ragas at the tender age of 1.5. That's crazy, right? About 15 months in, 18 months in, she's like able to recognize sounds and music. Dude, what? And then about 200 ragas apparently at the age of 4. As if that doesn't blow your mind, then I really don't know what else will. So yeah, in this episode, we talk about how one can transcend their field and explore areas that you thought would not be possible otherwise by just keeping at it and keeping your mind well lubricated and well oiled. The importance of constantly learning new things and pushing yourself to try new things, and then really also pushing yourself to the limits. And how if you love something, you need to love it wholly and wholeheartedly. I think there's something we spoke about in our conversation with Urvashi, but the idea is you need to take up anything and everything that comes with the package. So yeah, when you do sign up to be a singer, you need to take up pretty much everything and all the facets that come along with the job. And the same thing applies to pretty much anything that you take up in your career. So yeah, how it's super important for you to accept it wholly. We also talk about how Vari considers her full-time gig to be a PJ specialist, a poor joke specialist, and that she creates music on the side. So that's a fun bit in our conversation. So yeah, stay tuned for that part and some fun laughs as well that is in store for you. So yeah, stay tuned for that. Finally, before we get into the episode, I'd like to talk a little bit about our audio partner, Sennheiser. I still can't believe that these guys are our partner, man. Shit. Oh, man. So for instance, the podcasting mics that we're using right now are by Sennheiser. The headphones I'm using for monitoring and for editing, and what our team uses for, yeah, pretty much the entire audio workflow is powered by Sennheiser, which is just incredible. I'll talk a little bit more about our partnership a little later in the episode. And then finally, Open Jam Studios. That's where we're shooting and recording these episodes. So yeah, this studio helps out with end-to-end creation and pretty much with all the equipments provided with the infrastructure as well. So yeah, I'll talk a little bit more about that as well a little later in the episode. Guess that wraps up the intro. Let's get right into it. This is my conversation with Vajashree Venugopal. This is Against the Odds, and I'm your host, Akash Damodar. This show is all about inspiring people to take the unconventional path and lead a life that is truly fulfilling and rewarding. Watch and listen as talented individuals take us through their learnings, the challenges they face, and how they continuously adapt to overcome them. It was quite intriguing, dude, to understand what all you've been through. And I was like, whoa, this is a lot. And the fact that, dude, you literally started identifying music when you were, what, less than 2 years old.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, people are trying to figure out how to say things. And you're here, like, singing or, like, identifying things.
I'm I was still figuring out how to say things. But
this came more naturally.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. But dude, that and I did what you asked me to do too. I just went through the website as well and I got an idea of, you know, what you've been through, and that's just crazy talk. And I'm glad that now you're what, traveling to Russia and A lot of things on the cards, right? Yeah, exactly. Let's do that. Fingers crossed for that. But
it's been 18 months since. Yeah, but yeah, I love traveling. I'm waiting to look at the airport first.
Oh man. So,
sometimes I just feel like I should go drive to the airport, have a coffee and come back.
Yeah, yeah. But if you think about it, right, that's like the Bangalorean's way of like a road trip.
That's true. It's always been like a few years ago, like 10 years ago or something, just go drive to the airport, have coffee and come back.
That used to be
like a big outing.
So weird though, we Bangaloreans, I mean like she was also saying, right?
Mm.
They used to drive down to Matarli, and now Matarli is proper Bangalore right?
That's right.
Crazy.
It's not a Halli anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, but cool. I think a good place to start things off is how you spoke to me about how you like to constantly be learning new things, right?
Correct.
And exploring and experimenting and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Because I think with something like Carnatic music, which is very conventional, very Indian, very Dravidian, it's very South Indian.
Correct.
It's got its, you know, very different roots compared to other types of music. But I personally, and also I've learned a little bit of music.
I'll
put that out there. I've completed my junior exam.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. I was back in the day. But I know for the fact that it encapsulates a whole lot, right? And you can literally cover anything to everything within, you know, all the ragas and whatnot.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah,
so, yeah. So the fact that you have now started experimenting and, you know, seeing what other hybrid music or, you know, other forms of music and how you can implement everything you have learned and how you're exploring other facets of this as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're collaborating with a whole lot of people outside India too. So I think it's very important for, you know, for you to actually do that. So when did you actually discover that, or maybe even think that, okay, maybe I should look at music forms outside? And you spoke about how you like jazz and you know, you've been looking at or listening to a lot of soul or jazz from, you know, like a lot of years.
Yes, very much.
Yeah, so how did you get exposed to that and why did you decide to actually embark on that?
To begin with, both my parents are from a musical background. My father is a professional musician. He's a flautist. He's one of the most prominent gurus. My first guru. My parents are my first gurus. H.S. Venugopal is my father and Rama Venugopal is my mother. So they are the reason why I started appreciating music. So that way they were pretty open. They were conventional. They made sure I get the right kind of training. It being Carnatic music, you know, which is one of the strongest and most intricate and beautifully curated, codified form of classical music and one of the most ancient forms of music. So they made sure I get the right foundation, the right scholastics and fundamentals and skill set and understanding of music. At the same time, my father has also been a person who's constantly putting himself in new platforms, and he's played a lot for dance performances like Peet Bharatanatyam or Mohiniyattam or even Yakshagana and many such forms. So, and he has also been one such person who keeps in his own way experimenting with his musicality. So that also led into him exposing me to different types of music right when I was very young, taking me to concerts, Carnatic concerts, Hindustani concerts, or even light music. Or he even used to play some recordings of John McLaughlin and, you know, Shakti. That was my first introduction to jazz and the fusion of Indian music with jazz. And that's been falling on my ears for very long. But then as I started evolving, you know, personally, musically, I developed parallelly interest in deeper interest in many kinds of music. Of course, Carnatic music has always helped me to appreciate anything else, to say the least. And I used to listen to music and then notate it, try to sing it, Like there used to be these thermocol, you know, these thermocol big pieces of things you used to get in stationery stores.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I had extras of those thermocol sheets or cardboard sheets or anything in the house, my job would be listen to these cassettes and then write notations in the Sarigama Padani format, you know.
Right.
And that was like a fun game for me.
Like decoding.
Decoding and it was really nice. So it started there and then slowly it went into more of an exploration, explorative zone.
Right.
Where I started trying to sing some things that I found to be very new melodically and rhythmically compared to, hey, what is this? This I've been singing, learning Carnatic music for so long, but this sounds different. So what is that? So what do I have to do if I have to approach this piece of music? That's how it started, and it's been a great learning process. And every day it's going to be.
Yeah.
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 So that's how I got introduced to, and then later, of course, meeting with a lot of people, fantastic musicians, who helped me get a deeper insight.
Yeah. No, but I'm just thinking, I'm thinking more from the perspective of how people think you might be a little bit in a box or cage if you think you're only going to study Carnatic music, because you think that there's only so much you can do with it, right? Of course, in terms of, like you said, maybe the scholastic side of things or maybe the technical side of things, there's a lot you can explore.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of putting yourself out there,
mm-hmm.
people generally think it's like you could either be a sessionist, you could mm-hmm. record sessions,
mm-hmm.
you could be maybe a playback singer, which mm-hmm. might not necessarily only be Carnatic, but could be other forms, which you have to explore and get into.
Right.
And then also you have your kacheris and your performances and all of that. But how can one, and how did this happen with you that people from outside start approaching you? And because no one thinks that way, right? Like especially like if you're studying, you know, you can study Sanskrit, let's mm-hmm. say, or you can study Indian history.
Right.
But chances are that you will be stuck to working with other people locally
mm-hmm.
in that same realm.
Mm-hmm.
But then how did that open up? And because a lot of people don't expect that. Right?
Internet.
Is it?
Internet. But this exercise of mine and this effort, this madness towards trying different things and constantly... that excitement about any new material, that's always been there. But then when there's internet and you know that you can put out, even if you're trying something new, and you can put yourself out there. And I have not been very good at it for a long time, but I tried it a few years ago and I put a solo of John Coltrane's Giant Steps and me trying to sing it. And a friend of mine, a very, very senior composer who lives in London named Eugene Skeef. So he saw that I've been trying to explore with my voice using the Indian solfege. So he was like, Vari, you should try this. You should try listening to John Coltrane and said, give it a try. So I listened to it like hundreds of times and I couldn't, it all went like that. And I took my time. And finally, I was able to, you know, understand how it's moving and then practice how to sing it. And that's the first video that really, one of the videos that really, really grabbed the attention of many, many people in the jazz circuit who have been in the field for so long.
Yeah.
And they know what the piece is. Hmm. And they expressed their heartfelt appreciation. So I was like, I felt very encouraged and I've been continuing to keep at it ever since.
Dude, that's crazy. But I'm sure you didn't get into that with that mindset at all. Right?
No, it's always been an exciting exercise for me. Again, it's a new thing that I got to learn, but then it resulted in so many unexpected moments that it's hard to believe, but Victor Wooten, like a person like Victor Wooten reacted and then we got in touch and then later, he's like my god, like one of the music gods. And then he asked me to sing on his album alongside legends like Dennis Chambers on the drums and Bob Franceschini, and that's it's very humbling because I come from a very humble small background, and it means a lot, you know. And getting to meet Bobby McFerrin later, that happened through Victor Wooten too. So
I saw that photo. Yeah,
these things like it's bigger than any award, anything. It's like a reassurance for me to believe that, you know, you should just keep doing what you're doing. Don't neglect your passion. Just if your heart says so, just go for it and keep doing.
Yeah.
Without expecting anything, you know, that's the thing, because your only expectation should be a good journey.
Yeah.
You've already achieved the happiness that you want to achieve through the process.
Correct.
It's not like you arrive at a destination and then you are like, okay, now I am successful. It's not that. It's so that's been the most fulfilling thing for me throughout.
Dude, that was like the next thing I was going to go to, where, you know, there's this whole, and this has come up time and again on the show, where we have spoken about goals versus journey, right?
Mm.
Like even milestones, also how you measure milestones, because what you just said now is probably the right way to pick it up, you know, like gauge your journey itself. In the sense, you don't get into it knowing these are going to be the milestones.
Correct.
You get into it to enjoy the journey and
that's
the process. And along the way, you get, you know, to interact with, well, like you said, gods or people that you would have maybe looked up to at certain point.
Correct.
And then people you never expected, you know, to, you know, bump your path, right?
Correct.
Which is just crazy.
Absolutely.
And then I think that, like you said, that the word you use, reassurance, makes a lot of sense, because what else can you, like, an award and all of that is extremely, like, I feel a little more materialistic and it's a little more commercial in the sense, which obviously has
its place. Of
course,
that is still a public, it's an appreciation and an encouragement that comes from the entire public or the entire society in the form of an award, which is equally very sweet and reassuring. But then there are these personal moments that is not there is no name to it, but it's just a very personal experience, and each one of us will feel it in a different way,
right?
And we value it in a different way based on what our priorities are,
right?
So well, yeah.
Yeah, so true. And I think there is definitely something to constantly exploring and doing something new always, right? Because I think especially when it comes to creators or anyone in the field of any art, right, for that matter, I've noticed, and again, I say this because I know a lot of our audience, and even if they're not exactly, in, you know, following this bucket, I know just because of how many, you know, the sheer number of people in India and the kind of conventional, you know, careers that they might have, no one thinks, you know, outside the box, right? So for instance, if you get, like, you had this, you mentioned that you wanted to get, you know, do science, and then you wanted to, you know, pursue that path, right? A lot of people do that. And that is basically like the, you know, the way to go, right?
Right.
But, and then it becomes like a technical thing, and, you know, you're in it and you're only working on maybe 3-4 bits that, you know, you're constantly doing over and over again through the, literally the course of your life, either from a managerial perspective or from a technical perspective and all of that. But I think where creators and people who are in the creative field tend to explore a lot of other areas, which otherwise, you know, they wouldn't even think about exploring. Right. And I think this whole looking for newer areas to explore and just because you're curious.
Correct.
And just because you want, it's something that you personally want to fulfill, not for, you know, just for the career's sake or whatever, right?
Right, right?
I think that kind of automatically keeps you well-oiled and well, you know, like there's
absolutely.
It, right?
That's very right, because there are, that's also one thing that I always keep in mind. Not everything that you practice is what you would perform on stage.
Right.
There are some things that you practice or you try which will help you in some way, you know, like you just said out of the box, but then to know what out of the box is, you should know the box. What is the box? So the box itself is so big. And being from India, we have such a deep cultural background. And be it classical arts, music, dance, anything, it is so rich, and just to get to the surface level of it itself is, it takes a lot of time. It takes an entire lifetime, and then still you would have barely scratched the surface. So the best part that I am enjoying in this entire journey is realizing the value of the rich culture that we already have in our country, with respect to arts. And if you delve into it enough and gather enough information to enable you to appreciate anything from anywhere, so that is something that is beyond syllabus. It goes to the level of enjoyment of arts, not just performance or presenting a particular set of things that you have learned. It's not just that. It's that might be one thing, you know.
Right.
But then there is the wholesome enjoyment of an art form that cannot be taught. It has to be, we have to learn it ourselves. It is not in a book. It's not in the scriptures. It's in experience.
Correct.
So that way, I think everything is out of box. Everything is in the box. Like, you never know, because the box is so big. Like I felt, it's just that we are so small inside this entire big area that no matter how much time we spend, we would have covered very little.
Yeah.
So in this little span of one lifetime, the best thing to do would be to be adventurous. Go for it. Even if you fail, it's okay. Like I thought I want to study science. 2 years, I might say I wasted 2 years, but no, it's an experience. I made friends and I understood how difficult science is. So my respect for people who pursue science, you know, increased. So that's there. So everything is an experience. And that way it's all beautiful. It's every experience is only a positive thing. It's only gain. It's there is never any loss of anything. There's only gain of experience.
Right. Yeah. Well put. I wanted to literally delve a little more into why is it that you, when you were a kid itself, you started writing all of these things down. I mean, was that taught to you, or is that something you just picked up? And have you always been the kind of person who writes a lot of things down? Or because that, not just with exploring like the way you were doing, with pretty much anything you do, I think a lot of people talk about how you need to bring your thoughts into the world, right? Mm-hmm. And the best way to do that is to literally write it down. The moment you pen it down, your thoughts have taken some form. And then after that, it's so much easier for you to act on it or do whatever it takes, right?
Right.
So in this case as well, is that, I mean, how did you get around to doing this? And you said this is something you time and again still do.
Still do, yeah. So basically writing is like on a generic level also, writing does give a lot of clarity. I mean, not just for writers or for anybody in specific, but anybody, yeah. So I was watching my father and his lessons, right, when I was very young. So that also influenced me, and I'm constantly listening to that music. And then when I was about 18 months, like, my father realized that I'm able to recognize a few ragas just by listening to the phrases or a composition or something like that. And then what he did was, he would sing the composition and he would also sing the notation, the swaras associated with that, so that it would help me to understand the relationship between the melody and the lyric, and how the melody is moving and why the raga is called what it is called and what swaras are there. So he would not theoretically tell me, but he would do that practically.
Correct.
So that helped me. And then once I was enrolled to take classes under the guidance of Vidushi H. Geeta, so then she would write notation and I got familiar with it. And then once I started going to school, I learned how to write, and I started learning how to write notation myself. There are only 7 sarigama padani, so 7 letters. It's not difficult to write. But that was a great exercise, I feel, even now, because I realized that whenever I my method of learning is I listen to it so many times that I get very familiar with the melody. And then I try practicing singing it, not with notation, but I just sing along with it. Once it's in my memory, I try singing it. And I sing it so many times until I develop a muscle memory of the melody. And then later I make notes. And when I make notes, it helps on a visual level, like on a photographic memory level. So it makes things very easier for me. That's personally for me, it's worked that way. So writing is important for me.
Yeah, and not just the fact that it helps with recall, it also is such an easy way to get something off your head, right?
So, that's right.
So in this case as well, I like you didn't hear, no one had to tell you this. In the sense, you kind of picked it up from like watching other people. And then when you start doing it is when you realize there's some, you know, some.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sure even you would have been told this in school, like instead of reading the notes, write the notes, because you will tend to remember it in a better way. So
correct.
That works everywhere, I guess.
So true.
And then later, it's you don't even have to put any extra effort to memorize it. It would all already be imprinted on a deeper level, so it's easy to recall.
But I'm just thinking, man, how did, I mean, you obviously had a lot of influence in your family in the sense for music. You had a lot of people who were already very deep in the art form, right? So it was very easy for you to kind of get a little influence and, you know, like get into the space. But it's something that kind of stood out in our conversation yesterday was how you said everyone needs to find something that they're uniquely good at and then really pursue it like there's nothing else. You know, that, I mean, even if you don't, I mean, other things can happen, but this should never stop and you should keep at it, right?
That's right.
I know how you found this, but I'm thinking, how do people even know this? Because, you know, how did you know that music was, although you had influence, how do you know this was it for you? Because it's very easy for us to think, like you said, like it's good to dabble your toes. It's good to like understand whether this is for me or not. And I think experimenting goes a long way.
That's
how you kind of, you know, discover yourself and what you want to do, passion, all of that bit. But then how do you really tell? And when were you personally able to tell?
Well, I just couldn't stop singing, you know, like I would sing even when I was in school, I would keep singing in the class and all of that. But I've been lucky to realize sooner that I want to.
Really soon, dude.
That this is what I want to be doing. I want to be singing or making music. But I gained more clarity as I got older, you know, about how to have my own voice, you know. But then each of us have a different time frame, timeline, and we take different amount of times to realize where our passion lies. Sometimes the passion that we have might not support our life or earning.
Right.
Sometimes it does. So it's a tricky thing. Sometimes it works out, because that's exactly why I feel some people are in a certain profession which might not be their favorite things to do, but they might be good at it, but their passion might be something else. So there are also people who are extremely good at what they're doing, and what they're doing will be supporting them in such a way that they are also able to pursue their passion. So there's that, and then there's also, like for me, my passion is my profession, which is good in a way, but also challenging in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, so that way it's, I'm very lucky that I figured it out. And music has been my support system, to be honest with you. Yeah. So,
there's no easy or right answer to this whole thing, right?
That's very relative.
Extremely, very subjective, right? And I think today's teens or even Gen Zs for that matter are just looking at you know, having to quickly figure out what it is, right? And also you have these certain outliers who already have so much clarity on what they want to do. Maybe an outlier like you, because you already knew that you had to do something in music.
But yeah, well, there you go. Again, coming back to the box, like the box is so big. Music is so big, right? So what in music? Okay, Carnatic music. Carnatic music itself is an ocean. What about that? Okay, I want to apply Carnatic music somewhere, but how do I do that? So what do I have to do to be able to use my language in a global format? So for that, how much do I have to equip myself? How much of listening? What kind of, you know, again, it's a big ocean. It's like a flowchart that keeps on going, and after this, you need to do this. You never arrive at a final spot, but you just know that, okay, this is the direction. That's it.
Right. Yeah. But that itself is a big, big win, right? It's a big plus point.
It is. It's important.
Yeah, it is. Like, there are a lot of people who, like you said, are stuck in a situation where they have passions in their tertiary lines, if that makes sense. Mm. Like, in the sense, it's not their livelihood. It's not something, it's not their main occupation, maybe. Some people who want to make it their occupation but are unable to figure out how to get there.
Correct.
Or maybe some of them who think like, oh, I'm already in my 40s, so we're way past that mark and it's done. But like you said, every single person has their own timeline or time frames. So all comes back to that, right?
And it's not necessary that your passion has to be your profession.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean to say that you're not passionate about your profession, which is not actually your other passion or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Some people are happy just playing the guitar and singing for their own happiness. That doesn't mean to say, oh, you can't say you play or sing so well, why don't you be a full-time musician? You can't ask that to anybody, because it's a very personal thing. That guy might be happy being an accountant and playing the guitar and singing on the weekends whenever he just wants some time for himself. That's okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. So
again, there's no right or wrong answer to this whole thing. That's the beauty of it, right? Mm. Oh man, but it's that we had another guest on the show who said the same thing, where he said the world will be, and I think I made another YouTube video around this, where we spoke about the importance of hobbies and the importance of passion, and how he said, this guest of mine said, if everyone in this world was able to somehow contribute in this unique field that they're passionate about, or somewhere they have a unique skill set, then the world would be a much better place. If you think about it, right? Everyone's doing what they want to do, and you're kind of fitting in. Yeah. Like, if you let your engineers be engineers, you let your doctors be doctors, and then you let your creators be creators, and all of that. It's like a nice, you know,
that's
like
right.
a nice.
Like you're saying, if you let them choose what they want to be, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Which is true.
Correct.
And I feel it all bottoms down to giving you 100% in whatever you do. There is no 100%, actually.
Giving
technically,
it your all.
It's like, it cannot, your efficiency can never be 100%. But what I'm saying is, if you put your heart into whatever you're doing, I think anything will turn out to be good. It should not be, it should not be a labor which is just for the sake of something.
Yeah.
Even if it's a simple, even if you want to fold this tissue, or you want to throw this in the garbage, the intention should be right.
Yeah.
And then you just end up doing it.
Yeah, over and over again. Yeah. That becomes a habit of sorts.
Yeah,
right?
That's it. Yeah. So simple things like that. So I think it applies for everything.
So true. Oh, man. So another thing with this whole passion thing, and since we're talking about occupation and jobs and all that, you spoke to me about how every single day is like a challenge, or not just a challenge, is new, is novel, because you don't even know what you can expect.
That's right.
There's so many ways to deconstruct that, the way I see it, because, you know, first of all, it's great because you're waking up not knowing, one, and two, there's like a different, you know, like zeal or enthusiasm to, you know, to you that you bring to the table. And then also the broader level, people who don't know where the next paycheck comes from, or not just pay, from where they're going to be literally the next month.
That's right.
Is, you know, is also something that I think is, you know, it's good to get comfortable with. You know, once you're comfortable with that, it kind of becomes very easy for you to handle any challenge thrown at you.
That's right.
And so you told me that you're really comfortable right now. The fact that you don't know what is in store for you the next day, or maybe even that day. And you actually like that. You thrive that, right?
Well, it's like if you choose this path, then you have to take everything that is associated with it. You just can't take the musical part. You have to take the life part that comes with it,
yeah,
as a profession. And that's the only way. And there is no other go other than getting comfortable with it and accepting it. Because that's the you sit on a jolly ride and you don't think about, oh my God, it's so high and I'm gonna, that's the thing. You are sitting up there because you want to experience it. Well, I'm not comparing this to a jolly ride, but it's just an example. So right, you choose it. When you choose it, you take everything that comes with grace, be it a good thing or a slight, if it's a bumpy ride, it's all part of it. I think every profession has its own quirks. And well, when it comes to freelancing artists, things work in a different way and the dynamics will be different. But then again, that's the price you have to pay in order to have an artistic experience, a creative experience.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Because dude, the main reason a lot of people don't quit their job is for the same reason here, because well, they're so comfortable with, you know, getting their paycheck on time, which obviously, I mean, I'm not saying that this is the only way to, you should get in, dive deep and just, you know, experience it all. But there is something to, you know, like you said, once you accept the whole thing, right? We had a guest right here, I think a couple of days ago, where she spoke about, she's an actor. So she spoke about how you can't just take the, you know, the happy bits of it and the exciting bits of it, where, oh, I'm on the big screen, or, you know, behind, I mean, I'm in front of the camera, which is great. But what about filing your taxes? What about audition? Yeah. What about everything else that goes behind, you know, you having to make it, right? Though that's also so important.
It is important. And for people like me, like I'm a freelancing artist. So finance works in a different way. Like I have to plan my finances in a different way, be it savings or, since it's not like a monthly paycheck kind of a thing. And everything depends. It's very, very dynamic. It's never constant. So my planning of life will also have to be tweaked to suit the entire situation. For example, COVID, who knew, right? Many artists were hit. Like, it's been bad.
Yeah.
But then there are things you will have to do to figure out to be able to sail through. And there are good days, there are bad days. So the most important thing will be to protect your core, to keep your spirits high and not lose your spark, and be, you know, sail through and just hang in there. So that way, yeah, it's there are so many things to being an artist, not just what you see on Instagram or on social media, but there are a lot many more things.
Okay guys, taking a small break from the conversation to talk about our collaborations and partnerships. So first and foremost, I'd like to talk about our collaboration with Hubhopper. So for people who don't know what Hubhopper is, it's a podcast providing platform, a hosting provider platform, where if you don't know where to host your show, or if you're unsure of where to get started with creating audio podcasts, then Hubhopper Studio is the way to go. If you wish to start your own podcast for free, then you can visit hubhopperstudio.com. Hubhopper is one of India's leading podcast creation platform. Start your podcast with Hubhopper Studio and get your voice heard across platforms like Spotify, Gaana, Google Podcasts, Wink Music, and more. Click on the link in the episode description or visit hubhopperstudio.com. The Audio at Against the Odds is brought to you by Sennheiser. Yep, that's our audio partner. So I'm sure you already know what Sennheiser does, but for people who don't know, you've been either living under a rock or maybe you don't know what these incredible pieces of equipment can really do. So from some of the best industry standard and leading microphones to some incredible headphones to, well, you know, any kind of audio equipment, Sennheiser's got your back. I'll leave a link to pretty much all their products and a catalog in the description below for you guys to go check it out. But yeah, if you like what you're hearing here, it's all because of these microphones. So yeah, you want to go check out the MK4s and the MK8s by Sennheiser. And yeah, truly level your game up when it comes to audio and take it to the next level. Also, this episode is recorded and shot at our community partner, location partner, Open Jam Studios. So I'm coming to you from Open Jam Studios based out of Church Street in Bangalore. So for people who don't know where to get started with creating content, or if in case you don't have the equipment to create content, or maybe you just need a nice professional workspace or studio to get started, then might I recommend Open Jam Studios. I think the process of finding this place itself was a big, big boon for us. The fact that we took a break during that second wave got us to really rethink our previous studio, and it opened up a whole bunch of array of options when it comes to studios. And well, Open Jam turned out to be the best pick out of the lot. So if you'd like to record your show, come on down here. They've got all the equipment on board, and you just have to come on and pay for the space and get going. It's as simple as that. So I'll leave a link to Open Jam Studios website in the description below for anyone who wants to check it out. Cheers. And dude, we spoke about this yesterday, right? Like all these things come in ebb and flows.
Yeah.
You can discover the best thing to do, or like in a well-suited job, whatever, or even if you're doing this on the side, chances are that, you know, like when shit hits the roof, well, it does, and at that point you have to really just cope with it, right? And that's part and parcel of it.
It is absolutely. And that's life, right? What's life if everything is rosy?
I've been thinking about this. I mean, I used to think about this a lot. Then I was like, yeah, it's a waste me having to spend time thinking about something else, which is if everything was great and everything worked out fine, then you would never have a sense of feeling of elated. So like, you know,
or
you'd
even
be
gratitude.
Happy. Yeah, gratitude. Any of that, right? Because everything's the same. And there's nothing to it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Obviously everything has to be in ebb and flows.
That's right. That's right. Like they say, if there's no darkness, you will not know what light is. Right.
Yeah. Right. We're getting into the deep things now, but
we're going a little. Let's get back to. Okay, let's start the conversation now.
Yeah, I know. What are we talking about now? I mean, till now it's been a little awkward. We've been like just saying some random things. People are like, where's this going?
Yeah.
No, but dude, this is. I think these are things that people, you know, generally. Think about when they're alone, or you know, think about when they hit rock bottom.
Yeah, but the funny part is that we all know about these things, and the greatest philosophical thoughts and teachings and everything, but it's not easy to apply them, like, because we are all human, and to get to that point you need to have such a calm temperament to just take everything that comes in equal spirit. So I think that plays a very great role, especially for creators,
mm-hmm.
because that equilibrium becomes important, and you need that equilibrium to be able to do justice to your creative side. You can't, just because you're in a bad mood, you can't let that affect your performance. And I mean, who's gonna ask you what happened at home, or what happened on the way? If you had an accident or a traffic jam, or you got into a fight, or doesn't matter, when it comes to your art, you have to do justice. So that requires a very, very composed temperament. That's something that I think is very important to practice.
Oh my God, yeah, so true, man. I mean, like, everyone has problems, right? Everyone's going through stuff.
Yeah.
But it takes some grit, and it takes some real dedication to actually do that.
It does.
Man, and when I think about it, I've read about numerous instances where, you know, either these guys on set like actors, you know, might have hurt themselves while they're doing a scene, and they continue through it.
They do it, yeah.
And that's some crazy dedication.
Dedication,
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it is, right? I mean, that's where you're, and like, so again, this is also a weird, tricky balance to play. There are people who like literally immerse themselves in the role for like, you know, like for months together.
That's right.
To kind of, you know, take in that persona and all of that. Well, okay, great. But at the same time, there's also the other side, like what we just discussed. And all of it, I think it comes down, and we see like, you know, different people having, I mean, bringing different flares to the screen. And it really comes down
to
that.
Right, from the guy who's taking care of the lights, the spotlight, everybody is playing their role.
Correct.
Equal intensity.
Correct.
Right? And even if one element is missing, you don't get the desired output.
Correct. So true.
Yeah.
So I was watching this video today about why is it, do CEOs have to always be assholes or something like that? Like, do they have to be like, you know, like rude? Is that the only way that, you know, that companies can survive? Because that's like a very, that's the kind of, you know, message that we've been sent, right? And you know, if you think about like, that's how people are portraying certain leaders and all of that.
Right.
There was no conclusion to the video. It was just like an discussion.
An open-ended.
Yeah, exactly. But one thing that stood out in that that video was, I think the video was by Johnny Harris, and he was talking about how, like, everyone looks up to the CEO and looks up to the leader, and I get it that the person is driving and all of it, but that's some guys who take it so personally, like when they're the CEOs, right? Like, literally, that's my brand and I'm doing all of this. But it's not just you. Like you said, there's so many people and components to this whole thing.
Very true.
Yeah. And if some people, like some people want to be the smaller, you know, bit, or like they like those roles, right? But then that's not what is, you know, like...
highlighted.
Exactly. Right?
But then it's there.
Yeah, it's there. Correct. And if you look at like how, you know, certain movies or certain films or, you know, just media itself showcases all of these things. It's like all these tertiary, you know, it's not, it's like topsoil kind. So you can just like, you know, it's okay. But that's not the truth, dude.
Yeah, right.
And I know people who have gotten into, let's say, videography and then moved on to cinematography and then moved on to lighting and then they become a light expert and that's it. Like, it's the other path. You know,
right,
like a different way. But
right.
I think there's, yeah.
I would say it's like, in retrospection, it's okay. Why can't we look at it like this person wants to specialize in that craft? Nothing is higher or lower, right? If you just want to specialize in something.
Yeah.
Like, even in school, there might be a person who just is happy driving the van or the school bus for kids. He might be capable of more, but if that's what is giving him happiness and he's able to lead his life, that's also all right. It's not necessary. It's not necessary for everybody to have an ambition to become the highest whatever person in the world.
Correct.
They should just be the best version of themselves in whatever they're doing.
Correct. Yeah.
That's it.
Dude, that's so true. And I can speak for myself where my ambition or my aim in life early on, especially when, you know, you're in high school or, you know, you're getting into college, was to obviously get an MBA, was to obviously become a CEO, was to obviously, you know, run a massive, huge MNC. And, you know, why? Because, well, that's what's showcased to us. Right? And obviously there's, people know that there's hard work behind and all of that, but people still either strive, you know, wanting that, because that's what's on, that's the mantelpiece, right?
It's just that I think it's also the scare and concern associated with the future of the kids, like in each family. Once the kid is born, the first thing that they think about is 20 years ahead. What is he or she going to do? How is she going to survive? How is he going to survive? So it's about survival ultimately. But what happens is sometimes while we want to take the path that is the most taken path, we might miss out on a few things that, you know, like some special capabilities that one might have.
Correct.
That's where we have to wisely look out if we have capabilities that can help us sustain.
Right, Right.
It's not necessary to just go with the flock and do what they're doing. What if you're bad at it?
Yeah.
Right.
Dude, the numbers are that people are either they don't fit in or they're bad at it. Because like sheer numbers, right? It's just how, you know, like I said, people are so conformed to doing this. Mm. And it's after I got into like I told, just with the same ambition, right? I started doing a lot of, not just research, I started getting into, you know, like running a business and all of that firsthand. And then I realized, man, I don't want to lead a life where I have to spend 14 to 16 hours of my day just like toiling away and like, you know, having to worry about whether the company's stocks are doing okay, whether, you know, the other founders or the CXOs are, you know, like on top of things or whatever, right? Because that's not the life I want. I would rather work only for 5 hours a day and then get my time to like spend with my family, relax, unwind, go on vacation when I can, when I want to, when I need to, maybe when I've reached a point where it's like, oh my God. Because there were instances when I was at my corporate job where I couldn't do all of that. Because, well, your leaves are not in your hands, although it's your leaves, right? Which is so weird. And now I've gotten to a point where I'm like, if I can get a sustainable business, which is growing, at the same time, if I just 2-3 of us, like if I can, literally with the podcast, we have a lot of sponsors and a lot of things coming our way. But, and if that really picks up, the idea is not to get like 20 more people and, you know, get them behind the scenes and start running everything and then HR. Then, no, I don't want that. Because that's that clarity at least I've gotten now, which makes sense to me because that's the kind of life I'd want to live. Right?
Yeah. I mean, things like that. These are the things that we will need to figure out, you know, eventually. And as long as you're, I mean, see, as long as you're happy doing it and you are putting in your honest efforts and not forcibly doing something.
Correct.
And then if you're sure that it'll support you to sustain and, you know, on a basic level, these are the things that you will, one will need to know for sure. Again, like you, this is so cool that you figured it out. Like you want to do this, you know, the podcast and all that. So I'm sure there are many people out there like that who are capable of many things apart from what most of them are doing. And total respect to what people are doing otherwise in the technical field or anything. They're doing that because they're good at it.
Correct.
I have so many friends. I have all my cousins are engineers. So my entire family on my mother's side and on my father's side.
It makes sense why you were inclined a little bit to science. Makes sense.
No, I also had a lot of friends who wanted to study science and probably I also wanted to be with them. And I also wanted to see what it's like to study science. It's a mixture of many things. But then I totally respect their choices, like be it my cousins or my friends, and they are doing the best that they can in their field.
Yeah.
So it's relative, like we said. It's well, it's quite challenging in a beautiful.
Do you want to start the show, Vavi? Because we've been just like talking about these.
No. I think we might just go on and then end somewhere.
Exactly.
Without
somewhere.
Beginning.
Somewhere. Yeah. No, dude. But
this is nice.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, these are things that I if I were to ask myself 10 years ago, I'd be like, dude, you're a fool. Like, what you're talking about makes no sense because everything has to be larger in life. Everything has to be like, you know, like, again, how things are just portrayed. And I think today media plays a very, very important, it's always played an important role in everything.
Right.
Now with media and social media and all of that, it's just things have just become a lot broader.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, like, for instance, I know after we started picking up some, you know, like getting some traction, people have been pinging me, DMing me on Instagram for numerous things with podcasts, numerous things. But everyone's, a lot of these guys, after talking to them is when I've realized, dude, I don't think you'd like podcasting. Because either they don't have the knack for it in the sense, like, not technically, but just like they're not the kind of person who can hold a conversation for a long time. Or they're not the one who would enjoy conversing. But what is shown, I mean, what's showcased, it's basically Joe Rogan and these guys who are like killing it, right? These top podcasters. Like, look at the, you know, the kind of lives they're leading,
mm-hmm.
or maybe someone you know finds out then the amount they're earning through each episode, and they're like, wow, are you serious? Then mm-hmm. we should become a podcaster. But then it's when you get into it is when you're there. So I spoke to another person. I told him maybe I said, no offense, but I think you might be a better producer than you would be a podcaster, because he was thinking more from the, you know, the back end bit. How uh-huh. do we get things to go?
Right.
And he said, I'm not too comfortable being on camera. I said, great, don't do a video podcast.
Right.
I don't really know if I'd want to speak for so long. Mm-hmm. Said, okay, so maybe do a short form podcast
mm-hmm.
and by yourself. Don't even get anyone. Yeah, but you know, mm-hmm. so I'm like, see, you're itself like kind of answering your own question.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then finally I was like, but you like all of these things. Maybe you should be a producer. But if you think about it, where do you... When you're a kid, where do you get like a handbook that says this is how you can become a producer? I mean, these are all like nuanced, right?
It's virtue of time, you know.
Yeah.
And another important thing is to be honest with yourself and not believe that you are supposed to be doing this because they think you should be doing this.
Yeah. Flashy reasons or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
So you be honest with yourself, right? You know that you are good at this or you're really happy doing this. Then you have it all. You have the answers. Like you said, one will have any answer to any kind of doubts.
Yeah, yeah. And I think one simple way to do this is by getting your hands dirty. And you spoke about how practical your experience has been with all of this, right? You
mm-hmm.
spoke about how... your education bit was just like almost namesake in the sense you already were full time, you know, like a musician almost.
I've been mostly on the practical side of, you know, the performance.
And then you said the academia bit, you decided to explore a little bit, but you realize that a lot of these things I know, a lot of these things I can explore a little further. But for most bit, it's been getting your hands dirty, right?
That's right. That's been, I have realized that I'm probably not a person who would delve deep into academics and become like a lecturer or something like that. That's I don't think that's my that's something that I would like to do full time. I would be very happy to be part of masterclasses, share ideas again on a very practical level. But this I realized, you know, and that's what made me focus more on what I really want to do. I just want to sing. I want to keep trying new things. I want to sing. And also coming from a background that's as conservative or in a good way, like very rich and very traditional format of music, that is Carnatic. So being able to stick to the roots while exploring, so that becomes the challenge. Because you know how the expectations will be when you call yourself as a certain, you know, artist from a certain field, then you're expected to do a certain few things. So that definition of an artist is what will keep you on your toes, you know. Okay, I have to do justice to this. I'm saying I'm going to be singing this Carnatic Raga, so I have to sing it in the way it has to be sung. Even
yeah.
if I want to explore, improvise, I love improvising. Improvising is my favorite thing to do. Apart from singing structured compositions, at the same time, I love improvising. So at the same time, I have to be very respectful of the form of music. And if I want to be adventurous, I should make sure that this is taken care of. And so that is where I guess the clarity part comes in, where you know that, okay, this is where you're coming out of, but then there is also this that you do not have to neglect.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This whole practical thing is, again, these are all like cliche things, right? It's such an obvious thing, right?
Mm.
Like you said, these are things we know.
Mm.
Like philosophy also, for the most part, when you break it down to its, you know, granular level, you're like, that we know.
We know,
yeah.
But can you do it? I don't think it's so easy.
Yeah, so true, man. Oh, man. But Dude, this has been great. I think we've spoken about a lot of heavy things. Let's talk a few light things, dude.
Let's do it.
A lover of PJs, I found out. I'd like to know what. You have some PJs for us or something.
No. I don't come prepared with PJs. Come on. They just happen.
Is it?
Yeah.
Can you think of a PJ right now?
No. Don't put me in a spot. My dad's a very... very cheerful guy. He has, his sense of humor is so sharp.
Yeah.
So I get it from there. And his word puns and things like that. It's amazing. So, yeah, that's probably, I'm basically a full-time PJ artist and part-time musician, I can say.
That's a good way to put
it. I sing now and then. I play music when I'm...
when you're taking a break from jokes. Oh man, but that's crazy, dude. I wanted to touch upon a lot of things, and I like how we have just gone through, pretty much everything, and it's
in great. A different order, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's no order. It's just I when I spoke to you yesterday, and this happens with pretty much all our guests, and mm-hmm. that's what I've been trying to do more and more, which is to identify the right type of guests and you spend more time understanding, really figuring out where they have come from and mm-hmm. what their experiences have been and, what their, what's close to their hearts, right? And those are things that I've realized at least there'll be one or two things that's like common to everyone.
Right.
And that, when I say common to everyone, not like everyone on earth, I'm saying everyone who we are trying to shortlist at least is at least on those, on those lines. Right. And that, I realized that literally like 5 minutes into our conversation yesterday, I was like, this whole thinking of doing things practically, writing things down, all the things that we, a lot of people do. And there's a reason for that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tested time and again. Like, people go to it because there's so much value in doing that.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh my God. And I think one last thing we can talk about, which we didn't really talk about yesterday, but I'd like to get into now.
Yes, please.
So you as a content creator, as an artist who is also a content creator, because people have found you through the internet, like you said.
That's right.
So what has your journey been on that? And do you really have a plan per se on how you create for specifically for that? And of course, you're creating on a daily basis because you love riffing and you love, singing, like you said, improvising and all of that. But what about this bit? Do you really have a plan? An artist, do they normally have a plan like this, especially in today's day and age?
For somebody like me, this is all quite new. And of course, I've been putting out content and I've been... publishing some things that I've been singing and also been working on some original content and all that. But there is no plan as such. I've been going with the flow, and my whole idea is to keep exploring new forays of music and then try blend it in with where I come from, with my Indian music roots. And I find that sound is something that gives me a lot of joy. And I've also realized that people who are listening to it are also finding it very interesting and refreshing. Recently, I've been listening to a lot of Brazilian jazz nowadays. So I'm learning a few compositions, trying to sing it in my own way. And recently, I put up something with a couple of my colleagues, and it was very well received. And some people from Brazil contacted me, asked them, some really, really great artists, and I had the honor of featuring on their album and all of that. But again, like I said, that is something that happens during the journey. But what I enjoy doing is trying this out, no matter if it's going to be liked by people or not. If I feel, hey, this sounds good, I just want to put it out there. It might turn out to be something good. It might bring happiness to people. More than anything, it's a nice feeling for me to just sing, and if it makes somebody happy, then that itself is enough.
Yeah.
So that's my plan. That's it. And a bigger idea is to try everything that's possible through the Indian classical training that I've had. So I want to explore as much as possible, and and try blending into many, many genres of music.
Yeah. I think
because the possibilities are
endless, right?
Yeah.
My God. And I saw this post recently where it said, create for an audience of one, which is yourself.
Correct.
Right? So when you're putting something out there, you don't think too much about how it's going to be received and all of that. If you can think of, I mean, and obviously don't put out negative nonsense.
That's right.
Like something that you know, okay, there's a good chance of, you know, like people perceiving it positively and well, great. But if you're creating it for yourself and it fulfills you, then you'll keep at it over and over
that
again. So you
right.
don't need a proper plan per se.
And the intention is not to please anyone.
Correct.
And it's impossible to please
everyone.
And that's not the right intention to have. You're not doing anything to please anyone. You're putting out your opinion out there. It's just an opinion. It's a thought. And everybody is welcome to like it or not like it because it's a very personal thing. But if it's making you happy, putting out a piece of music or whatever, then just go for it. But just be very sincere. That's all. Just do justice, the maximum justice that you can do to that piece. You do it and that's it. And then you are one step ahead towards, you know, growing as an artist.
Yeah, so true. I mean, dude, I'm looking forward to the time where you combine PJs and Carnatic music. That's going to be like the next.
That's
level.
That's a very dangerous combination.
You should ask your dad. I mean, he's probably thinking about those ways. Like, there's so many balls in the air. How do I, like, put these together? So maybe you guys should, like, put your heads together and do that.
Yeah.
But, dude, this has been great, Vari. I'm
same
so glad
here,
that you're
Akash.
Finally here. And this is awesome.
Great.
Two things I ask of all our guests, and I think I'll ask you too.
Uh-huh.
One is, any closing thoughts, any last message for our audience, viewers, listeners, anything?
Well, it's very rare that I get to have a conversation like this where we just talk about life. You know, it's usually it's about music, technicalities of music, how to practice, what to sing or anything. But there is nowadays I've just been recently I've been feeling like, hey, it's not just that, but it's more about how you are as a person itself. You know, and not the other way around. If whatever you are as a person, like, reflects in whatever you do, be it art or engineering or whatever. So I am more into that nowadays, like approaching life in the best way and staying positive, optimistic, intense, and being at a high intensity level in whatever I do, because you never know, like, just enjoy the present and give it your best shot is my motto for now. I'm just sharing with everybody that's watching. Everybody has their own mantra, but that's mine.
I think it's a good mantra to with as well. My God. Thank you so much, Vari. And where can we send people online? Your Instagram or your website? Or I think your website encapsulates everything.
Yeah, my website, of course. Yeah, it's a very simple website. It's www.varijashree.com and my Instagram is varijashree. So I keep putting out some of my crazy exercises.
PJs.
I should. You know what? You have put in a new seed. Yeah. Okay. Let's.
You should. Yeah, we should do this. Like, literally, like, you know, like brainstorm or like you. Put up like a couple of them, and next time you're here, we'll again talk about, you know,
about
what your journey's been like as a PJ
as a
creator.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah. Like you said, you're the full-time PJ creator.
Yeah. No, that just flows like.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's natural. Doesn't need effort.
Oh man. Yeah. No, this has been great, Vari. Thank you so much.
Same here, Akash. Thank you for having me over And I should also thank Sonu for connecting us.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Definitely.
So,
shout out to you, Sonu.
Yeah.
Sonu is one exceptional person.
She's a bundle of energy.
She really is, dude. So my wife was talking to her a while ago and she was complimenting on how she's a mother and she's putting out content regularly, frequently.
Yeah,
she's like, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
talking to brands. She's doing everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally without breaking a sweat, I think. And so,
it's amazing, yeah.
So yeah, Sonu. Kick ass, yo. Because you're doing it. You were actually kicking ass. But great, Vari. Thank you so much. And can't wait to have
thank
you here
you.
Again once I pass through my mind.
Absolutely. Definitely. Thank you. Thank you all.
It's just crazy how composed this woman is, right? Man, she's one of the most unique guests we've had on this show to date. And I learned a ton talking to her. If you found value in the episode and you learned a ton as well, then consider doing a couple of things to support the show maybe. Yeah, if you're watching this episode on YouTube and you haven't hit the like button, then now would be a good time to hit that like button. Smash that like button. And by that I mean, just head on down right here. I'm not sure which side, but just hit that like button right there. And if you haven't subscribed, then yeah, consider subscribing because we have a whole lot in store for you. If you're listening to this over audio, then leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It's a very simple way to get the word out there. It helps out with the podcast audio algorithm. Yeah, it helps out the algorithm, helps get the word out there, and it helps out with the discoverability bit as well. So yeah, leave a rating and review. It just takes about 10 to 15 seconds, but it goes a long, long way. And yeah, if you like long form content and you like reading, then might I recommend subscribing to my newsletter. My newsletter is a bi-weekly newsletter where I talk about the important things in life, a little personal, a little intimate, where it kind of complements the kind of content I'm creating here. So if you'd like to read some of this, then subscribe to my newsletter on my website on akashdamodhan.com. And yeah, it's free. It's completely free. It'll always be free. So go check it out. And once you do get the first edition of the newsletter that comes your way, let me know what you think by replying to that. Cool then. I guess that's pretty much it. I'll see you guys next one. Until then, cheers.